This is the Conway and Carolla Show.
I'll be high as a kite. We'll see how it goes.
With special babbling sidekick, Danny Bonaducci.
Really?
And an occasional appearance by Tom Likas.
Yes.
And also Frosty, Adio, or Frank.
Really?
Maybe even John and Jeff, if they're here early.
Finland?
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And it is Friday at 8 o'clock. That means Adam Carolla has stopped his life to get a little airtime on this station. And he's on with us tonight. Adam, how are you, sir?
Oh,
some
great
air time,
to be with you, man.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Hey, did you see this plane crash in New York?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that, do you think a lot of people now are going to be flying wearing wetsuits?
Well, you know, I think... You know that point where they go, your seat can be used as a flotation device, and you're like, listen, sweetie, just freshen up my highball. Like, we're going to put it down in the Hudson and climb out of the plane.
Right.
Everyone's calling that old pilot a hero. I'm saying a real hero would have avoided the flock of geese that was flying over the Hudson.
Right.
That's the true hero.
Right, exactly. And again, I hate to keep bringing this guy's name up, but I love him as a comedian. Jake Johansson said, remember that flight that went from Honolulu to Maui and the top came off?
Yeah, literally just the top of the front half of the plane came off.
Right, and so they're flying at 250 miles an hour with no protection around them. It's a convertible now.
Right.
And he said if he were on that flight, he would go to reach the stewardess button, and that's not there anymore. Then he'd try to flag one down and say, excuse me, ma'am, everybody in this row needs more to drink.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. The guy was, and listen, I hate to sound like ageist or sexist or whatever, but the guy flew F-4 Phantoms in the military, which is like the craziest military jet ever.
Right.
And he flew gliders too. And I don't like old people doing almost anything. Like, I don't like old people waiters. I don't like old people in my porn. I don't like my own grandparents. But I do like the old guy flying the plane.
Right.
And I don't like the perky chick fresh out of flight school.
Right.
You ever see the 26-year-old chick who has that sweetie? Are you really? Is there some affirmative action going on here? Do you know how to handle this bird? I like the old timer.
Well, I took a flight from Los Angeles to Reno once, and I always check the cockpit to see who's in there before I take off.
Right.
And there were two women in there. And I thought to myself, holy Jesus, man, if this ever goes down, you know, I hope there's somebody else on the plane that can handle this thing.
Yeah, I know. It's sexist, but it's look, anyone who's listening who disagrees with what we're saying right now, you know that there are plenty of jobs that you would rather see a male in, and plenty of jobs you'd rather see a female in. What's the big deal? Like,
right.
If someone was going to look after my kids, I'd rather they be a woman.
Right.
If someone was going to do something that required more than $6 an hour, I'd like it to be a man. It's just me. One time. No, but we all know the men and woman jobs we'd like to do. If you see a fireman rushing up your house, you want to be a big strapping guy.
Right. And if you had a man watching your kids and anything happened to those kids, all your friends would be going, well, what the hell were you thinking? Of course there's like going to be some, you know, sexual abuse going on there. You hired a 22-year-old kid, a man.
Well, listen, you got two choices, by the way. Like, you know, and this is something women don't know, but Tim, you know this. A 22-year-old guy has probably had himself in more places than his own apartment. Nothing is sacred.
Right.
I love to see the look at women's faces. Get a group of guys together.
Right.
Get a woman in there and say, all right, let's honestly, everyone be honest, show of hands. Who's ever gone at themselves on the job, at work, and watch all the hands slowly go up, and watch the look on the woman's face. Really? You worked for UPS. That's right. That truck didn't even have doors. Yeah, but I'm sitting up high. You know what I mean? Like, crazy. I mean, you get a look, they'll get a look like, oh, are you, it's like you're telling them there's no God. Like, they're shocked and appalled. And if you let a guy in your house, and you announce you're going out for the evening, and the kids need to be in bed by 8, and you got about 5 hours to kill, guess how he's going to kill that?
And when you see a guy on an airplane nowadays, and he has a blanket over himself, what do you think he's doing under the blanket?
Yeah.
He's trying to peel one off. He's got a 13-hour flight to, you know, Norway. What do you think he's going
to
do?
I thought that was the whole idea to those recliner seats. I didn't know it was for comfort. Boy, humiliating.
All right, Adam Carolla's with us. And you know, yesterday there were some gamblers on that flight because the flight was out of New York, and there's a lot of gamblers in New York. And you know they're thinking to themselves, Christ almighty, now I'll never win. I've exhausted all my luck today.
You know what's funny? What was funny is half the people or some of the people went right back to LaGuardia to hop another flight. And it sounds completely irrational. But first off, you know, when the post-traumatic stress disorder sets in, it's this time tomorrow.
Right.
For the hour you got left, you know, like when something like this happens, you're basically in denial and in shock for the next 2 hours.
Right.
Now's the time, by the way, to get that tattoo you've been thinking about,
right,
or that tongue piercing, or whatever it is you're planning on doing, or, you know, call out that bully. Whatever it is, do it now, because you'll be in the fetal position this time tomorrow.
Right.
Bunch of people went back to the airport.
Right.
And just hopped another flight because, you know, they weren't from New York. A lot of them were going back to North Carolina or wherever they're from.
Exactly.
So they just hopped another flight. And I was thinking, imagine the guy that he just gets plucked out of the Hudson. He gets right back into the shuttle. He gets right on another flight, and he's standing there, and there's some guy in front of him bitching because he had a drink voucher, and it's not being honored. And he's doing that thing where it's like, buddy, you don't know bad. By the way, why are your pants wet? By the way, just forget it. They say, the guy just charged me $18 for my second carry-on. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? How much sympathy would you get?
Why are your pants wet?
You know, what do you do? You wet yourself, buddy? How come just the bottom part of your pants are wet?
Well, you know,
how do you whiz on the bell bottom part of the bell bottoms and not hit the crotch area?
You know, when you take off on a flight and it's a little bumpy, you look around to see if God wants this group. You
right.
know, and you say, well, there's a priest, there's a nun, there's a couple of kids. You know, there's no way God's going to take this flight out. But so just imagine you're on that next flight. After the U.S. Airways plane went down, and one of those guys is getting on that plane, you're like, I'm safe. There's way lightning is going to strike twice.
That's the point.
Yeah,
look
at the guy with the wetsuit and the U.S. Airways bag on him.
Yeah, that's your buddy.
It's over.
You're like, buddy, looks like there's an amberjack hanging out of your backpack. Is that? Oh, Jesus. I fell into the water. Also, what must have been weird for the guy, like if you could tap the guy on the shoulder, like, you know, some bad Nick Cage movie and say, I'm from the future. You're going to be back at this airport in an hour and 2 minutes.
Right.
And he, why? The plane didn't take off? Nope. The plane did take off? Yep. And it circled back? Nope.
You know what?
It landed somewhere else? Yes. How did I get back here?
That might be the all-time record. The Guinness Book of World Records might want to look into this. The record between the time a guy survives a plane crash until he boards another plane.
Yeah.
It may have been 45 minutes.
Well, ironically, whenever anyone survives a plane crash or doesn't survive a plane crash, a whole bunch of flights have to take place, like a bunch of NTSB guys have to fly out.
Right.
And then a bunch of family members have to fly out to the funeral. Or you know, it's crazy how much flying takes place after a crash because of the crash.
Right. And you know what's going to happen is one of these guys who it was on that flight yesterday, on U.S. Airways, he's going to set up a MySpace or a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get everybody together. And then every year on, you know, January 13th.
Yeah,
they're going to
have a little reunion people they don't like.
Yeah, how you doing? How the
right.
kids? Remember when I crawled over you, that whole thing? And you keep reliving it through Facebook.
I know, people that even they don't even know. Me with my own family, I'm like, do we have to do Thanksgiving every year? Can we just do odd years? I was talking on my show this morning about, like, remember, you remember this story, I think, because I think I heard you talking about it way back, geez, must have been like 10 years ago now, that guy, he was like adopted kid, and him and his buddy went to some, you know, place in, just across the state line in Nevada, And he basically killed that little girl in the bathroom.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was the Sharice Iverson thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That state line.
Then they went and interviewed his buddy, who was off to Stanford, and his buddy was flippant about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're like, why didn't you stop him? And it's like, hey, man, that's none of my business.
Right, exactly.
And it was like this close to saying the four-year-old was asking for it.
Right.
And everyone went nuts on him, but there was really nothing anyone could do.
Right.
You know what would be a great a-hole move, like a great pop culture kind of move, is you have a press conference as one of the guys on the plane. You'd have to get it. You'd have to talk one of the guys on the plane to do this and go, look, the pilot, Scully, the guy, you know, the guy put the plane down, feather soft. He's a hero. He saved 155 souls. He was the last guy off that plane, and the man's a hero. But I will tell you this. I left my iPod on the seat when I left the plane, and it's not there. And I'm not saying he stole it, but he was the last guy on the plane. And I had a lot of songs in there. And it's not the price of it. An iPod's $100, but there were 2,000 songs on there. I'm not saying he's not a hero. I'm not saying he's not a hero, and I'm not calling him a thief. I'm just saying he was the last guy on the plane.
Right.
You do the math.
Yeah, and why?
You do the math.
Yeah, and why is he the last guy on the plane? Everybody's off, and he's still walking through the aisles.
He has to make two passes?
Yeah.
Perhaps enough time to grab my iPod? Perhaps not. I'm just saying, Captain, give it back, no questions asked. Just set it down.
Can you imagine after they set that plane down in Hudson River, how much over-the-top swearing you would hear in the next 5 minutes?
I know, and they always say people were calm.
No,
I never believe it either.
No.
If so, they're just in a state of shock.
Yeah, no, especially the guys who are loaded. You know, the guys who have held it together so they don't get kicked off by the FBI, but they're on meth.
Well,
or...
by the way, I think they were calling this thing I don't know if they call it like a twin bird or double engine, double bird.
Right.
They call it like a double bird situation.
Right.
I, by the way, on my morning show, invented a drink, which is Grey Goose and Wild Turkey, which is the double bird. And it's why, this is my greatest argument for why I need a cocktail before we get to cruising altitude.
Right.
Because if something like this happens, I want the edge taken off. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You sit up there. You've done this 1,000 times. You're sitting on the plane. The plane's not going anywhere. So they're not taxing. They're not doing anything. You're sitting up there in first class. I've screamed about this 100 times. And I go, look, could I get a cocktail, sir? Wait till we get to cruising altitude. Yeah, if we get to cruising altitude. But if we suck in a couple Canadian geese on the way up, I want to be loaded.
Adam Carolla is with us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Now, are you a Lowe's or a Home Depot guy? Let me guess. I would say Home Depot.
Well, here's the thing about Home Depot. You can go in. Home Depot is great, and you'll save a lot of money if you're buying three pallet jacks of CDX plywood. But if you're going in there to buy a couple of drywall screws and your time is valuable,
right.
then you're killing yourself.
Right.
So Lowe's, by the way, is good for the nuts and the bolts, literally, has the good washers and the bolts and all that kind of stuff. Home Depot, actually, every third time I've gone to Home Depot, somebody asks me a question. I don't know what it is. I sometimes have a tape measure on my belt, but I walk around with a fair amount of authority in my stride, and I'll just walk down the aisle, and people stop me, and it's happened 18 times. They go, where are the finish washers? And I go, I don't work here. And they go, oh, sorry. And I go, aisle 18, three down on the right. Like, I always have to tell them I don't work here, and then I'll always tell them where the coupler is.
You know, that happened to me over the weekend, and I always have to be conscious now. If I go to Target, I can't wear a red shirt, and if I go to Best Buy, I can't wear a blue, like a Izod light blue shirt either.
Yeah.
Because that's the rule of the game there.
Yeah, and when I go to Home Depot, I always wear blue vests that says, hi, my name's Danny, on it, and that's probably the problem. I like when people do their own artwork on where the name goes
right,
in
yeah,
with the
right.
Sharpie. Don't get extravagant, sweetie. You're going to be working here for 2 weeks.
How low is the morale there where they have to give you patches if you do well?
Hey, how about money? There's an incentivizer.
Guy got his indoor-outdoor patch the other day, man. Whole ceremony. It was unbelievable.
That's pretty great, too. Like, hey, somebody's got himself some ribbons for grouting. Nice job. Shall I chill the champagne, or are we done celebrating?
I went to Adam Carolla's with us, folks. I went to the zoo today, the L.A. Zoo, and we saw the monkeys, and we sat there for a long time. And you after a while, you wonder who's watching who, you know?
Right.
And I saw a monkey take a dump into his hand and then ate it. And then he was throwing it at another monkey. And I thought, well, how long ago did we as human beings stop that act?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you believe in evolution, then there's got to be a date where that was cut off.
Well,
is that recently?
I know it was sometime in March. That's all I know from my Earth's calendar. But that's as close. I can't give you an exact day.
It's real tough to convincing a 3-year-old that that's not proper when she's staring at a monkey eating his own feces.
And look, there have been times when I've wanted to do that. Not the eating part, but the throwing part. You want to talk about an insult. You can call a guy a douchebag when he cuts you off on the road till the cows come home, but you sling some Duke his way. You get his attention. If you really want to think about it, it's like carrying a rock around with you anywhere you go. You know what I mean? It is.
It's a great rock.
It's kind of an S grenade. Really, I mean, not that you'd ever lower yourself to doing that, but I mean,
right.
If you could work that out, that'd be a pretty effective little derringer in your boot,
you know.
In case you caught a guy cheating, playing cards.
Yeah, bang, right in his face.
Yeah.
But you would hope that it was a rock that day, you know?
Yeah. It'd be funny explaining why he should hold still, though. Oh, you're lucky I ate Mexican last night, because it's not moving. You're so lucky.
Yeah, you're lucky I have a three-a-day Vicodin, Jones. Can you come back in 2 weeks where I can nail you?
You are so lucky Jack in the Box got that double taco special. I would be peppering your ass right now. That's another thing that's never... I think you could get two tacos at Jack in the Box in 1961 for 99 cents, and it's 2009, and they're 99 cents.
I know. It's the greatest deal in the world.
Now, look, either they're not making a penny today, or we were all getting ripped off in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, well, which is it?
I don't know. I think where they make their money is the soda for $2.50.
Is that where it is?
It's 3 cents worth of soda for $2.50, and they just give the food away.
By the way, you ever travel around with one of those jackasses that tells you how companies make their money? You know, they do that thing. The movie doesn't, they don't make a penny off the ticket. It's concessions.
Right. Right,
you know,
exactly.
they say, they whisper a little bit like they're some kind of genius. Concessions.
Right.
Casino, the buffet, they lose money. Okay, all right. You know that ass?
Right. That guy, you know, he says, well, they lose money on the laptop. They make it off the software.
Right,
you know?
Right, that guy. And then this guy, too. You see these huge, lavish, luxury casinos? You think they built this because people want? Yeah, okay, boss. Thank you. Hold on. Somebody give me a steno pad. I got to write this down.
Yeah, the most obvious crap in the world. Yeah, they're laying on you. It's like Confucius says.
I know. It's like, are you sitting down for this? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
People come here and they gamble. Yes, I understand it's hard to turn a profit when you're selling a metric ton of shrimp for 99 cents. I can do that math. Thank you. They're paying me to eat at the buffet. I understand. It's not a huge profit margin there.
Yeah, it's not a mistake that the buffet is at the in the back of the casino.
Yeah, I just said surf and turf for a nickel. I understand. They're probably not making a ton of dough on that.
Right. Well, I've talked about this before, but I was up in Oregon and I went to a casino. and I probably lost about $200 or $300 that night. And I come back, and my wife's mother's husband, so I guess her stepfather-in-law, I don't know what he is, stepfather, said to me, he says, hey, he says, you know, I don't go to Vegas with more money than I'm willing to lose. And I looked around like, who are you talking to? You talking to me?
Right.
And he says, yeah. And I said, I've been going to racetracks and casinos since I was 4 weeks old. You don't think I've ever heard that? I'm 45.
Yeah, I know.
You don't think I've heard that a billion times?
Thanks, Kenny Rogers. get back to the songwriting. I know, what a J.O. And especially, it's especially insulting when people tell you, a man, you know, a chronic addicted to gambling.
Thank you.
When they tell you about that stuff.
Right.
I do have that conversation a lot with people where I'm like, you're telling me? Are you explaining to me? I know I sound like Robert De Niro in Taxi, but I mean, seriously, like, you're telling Tim Conway about gambling? You think there's some gambling adage you haven't heard?
Right. It is amazing, though, that people, you know, they assume that everybody is like them. They've had the same experiences in life, you know? They never allow for anybody to have any more or any less than they have.
Also, doesn't, like, when you say, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you, and then you laugh really hard, do you really think that's the first time I'm hearing that? Wow, that is, you coined an awesome phrase in real time.
Right.
First off, that wasn't that funny when the first guy said it,
right.
The first time he said it.
Right, and it was done by probably somebody who had no sense of humor or sense of fun.
Yeah.
I'm only going to go to Vegas with more, I'm not going to go with any more than I'm willing to lose. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what a party.
Jesus, how do you like to be next to that guy?
Oh,
or how about this guy?
Awesome.
I'm sure you know this guy, too. Guy goes to Vegas, and he comes back after 4 days, and you go, how'd you do it? He goes, I didn't gamble.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Right.
4 days in Vegas?
Yeah, what the? Yeah, look, you can tell me that you nailed 180 strippers, and maybe I'll give you a pass, but other than that, what was going on?
The other day, a guy says to me, he goes, I got a great Vegas story for you. And I said, well, before you tell me, how much did you lose? And he said, it doesn't have anything to do with gambling. I said, I'm out. I said, I can't fit any more Vegas stories in my brain without somebody telling me they lost some money. First of all, I don't want to hear about anybody winning a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. Like Sam Simon, who is the producer of The Simpsons. Yeah. He's worth about $200 million.
Nothing worse.
Yeah, he called me up and he says, hey, he says, Conway, I went to the Kentucky Derby. I threw out the favorite, boxed every other horse. I put down $10. I won $10,000. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
Well, he bought a new pair of slippers.
Enjoy awesome. Yourself there.
Yeah,
huh?
He's been making $10 zillion in royalties for doing nothing over the last 10 years, by the way. But this is awesome. He gets $10 from heaven. You know, I did, I think I did Best Damn Sports Show, and I did it with Thomas Hollywood Henderson a couple of years ago.
Right.
He was the outside linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys one of the years that won the Super Bowl. He was kind of Lawrence Taylor, even a little before Lawrence Taylor was Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
But he just blew himself up with coke and hookers and drugs and ruined his career. But the thing that's funny is he won, like, the Texas State Lottery, like, two times.
Wow.
And he won, like, $28 million one time, and then I think he won another time. And I was saying to him, what kind of message is God sending here? you take this gift, this athletic gift I give you, you throw it all away with booze, hookers, and freebase cocaine, but don't worry, you'll hit the lottery.
Twice. And who plays after they hit it once? You won $28 million. Who's buying another ticket?
I know. Well, maybe it's the greatest argument for buying another ticket. I did think he was going to punch me at some point because they were asking him, like, what are your regrets? And he said, you know, I really wish I would have taken care of my body better. I wish I would have worked harder. I wish I would have had a longer career instead of the coke and the fights and the booze and the whoring and the womanizing. And he said, someone like Randy White was like the all-star lineman.
Right.
You know, big hillbilly guy.
Right.
He said Randy White was always the first guy at practice. He was the last guy to leave. He was in the weight room every day. That guy had a long career. And I wish I would have modeled my career like Randy White. I said, wow, this is something. This is a real twist. You never hear about this one. The white guy working harder in practice and lifting weights, and the black guy's doing blow and running around with whores.
Is that when he almost punched you in the face?
He paused for a minute, looked at me like we're in a sitcom from the '80s, and then erupted in laughter. But I thought for 2 seconds he was going to choke me out.
Well, how about also that a guy whose middle name or nickname is Hollywood would end up freebasing with hookers?
Yeah. I mean, he said Christ. After they won the Super Bowl, him and Ed Too Tall Jones got into a limo and basically just like drove back to Dallas from Tampa, Florida, and then he explained that Ed liked two women at a time.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought, that seems a little light, actually, if you know Ed Too Tall Jones.
Hey, Adam Carolla is with us, folks. You know the sign. I'm sure you've seen the sign before. It's a billboard on San Monica Boulevard, just east of the 405, and it has the deaths from smoking every year.
Yeah.
And it goes up, five every second, and it's
right.
I think it's at 20,000 now.
Right.
You know what I'd like to see on the next block is the sign of all the kids and the wives who didn't get their ass kicked and killed by the husband because he decided to go out and have a cigarette instead of beat him.
Yeah.
How many times has cigarettes saved a kid's life?
Probably a harder number to tally. Well, the one I like, and this one's 8 years old, but it's not even up anymore. But there used to be one up there that said like 64,000 people die each year of secondhand smoke.
Right.
And I was like, oh, first off, I know they don't have a number on how many people die of secondhand smoke because they don't know.
Right.
And then Dr. Drew brought me an article from New England Journal of Medicine, and this a couple years later, and they said they thought as many as 7 people may have died of secondhand smoke in 1 year. So 7 versus 64,000. And I've talked to these anti-smoking nut jobs, by the way, like the mayor of, it's that town down the 101 right before you get off over there in Malibu, or if you get off on Canaan.
Oh, it's Calabasas.
Yeah, Calabasas. The mayor of Calabasas wanted to outlaw smoking in parks.
They did it.
And did it in any public space.
Right.
And, you know, my feeling is I'm not in love with smokers. I just like civil liberties.
Right.
And you nut jobs have gone insane. You know, all right, move over to this section of the restaurant or just keep it in the bar. But for the love of Christ, a guy can't have a butt in a park. And, by the way, the parks are just taken over by guys playing soccer now. They take up the entire park. You can't go over there and blow a butt, for the love of Christ. So he was giving me this whole rap about secondhand smoke, and this retard said, first off, Dana Reeves just died of lung cancer, Christopher Reeves' wife.
Right.
Died of lung cancer like 38 or 39 or something like that.
Right.
And she wasn't a smoker.
Right.
As I said, well, you know, how do you account for that? He said, she worked in cabaret. She used to be a singer.
Oh, Jesus.
And there were
Christ.
People smoking in the cabaret. But first off, you know, she hadn't done that in 20 years. Secondly, really? Every cocktail waitress on the planet would be dead. Anyone who went to a truck stop would be dead with your stupid, idiotic.
Right. Anybody who hung out with grandpa for any long period of time would
right.
be dead.
And then the guy went on to tell me, he said, the cases of childhood asthma are up tenfold. I said, but smoking's down 80%. So where's the correlation? And he's like, what? And I said, well, look, people smoke. In the last 50 years, if asthma's up tenfold and smoking is down fivefold, then what's the correlation? He's like, well, I don't know about you, but I'm not for asthma for children. And I said, listen, Dilweed, do the math. According to you, the less people smoke, the more kids get asthma.
Right.
These people are idiots. They're such idiots.
Hey, well, you know, you can't even smoke in your apartment.
I look
in Calabasas.
Let me just say something to the retarded left wing. Focus on Al-Qaeda, would you? Not the goddamn smokers, you pussies. Jesus Christ, some of the greatest Americans, and forget about Americans, the greatest people on this planet were smokers.
Exactly.
All the guys that won World War II smoked, you pussies. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, give them a break.
You focus on something evil? If somebody wants to smoke, they're smoking. That's their goddamn business.
Right. Well, I love when the city of Santa Monica, now it's...
What, to make them into bad? What, to turn them evil?
Yeah.
And then they complain. Like, I swear to God, I would... We'd do bits over Jimmy Kimmel Live, and we'd have a French whore, and she'd be smoking a cigarette, and they'd go, does she have... Nah, let's get rid of the cigarette. I'd be like, she's a French whore from the turn of the century. Nah, she'd come on, get rid of the cigarette.
You know, they're going to make movies R-rated now if somebody's smoking in them.
I saw cigarette smoking when they did the, you know, PG-13.
Right.
And they do, like, you know, brief nudity, harsh language, adult situations, and cigarette smoking.
I know, they're lunatics.
I was at a restaurant. I was laughing the other day because I was at an old diner, and I went to the bathroom, and along the way, I passed all the pictures, the black and white pictures of, you know, Humphrey Bogart types and all that stuff.
Right.
All the old celebrities, they were all smoking in their headshot.
They couldn't even put it down for the headshot.
Well, no, this is the comedy. 85% of them were smoking in the headshot. Now, I know only 30% of them smoked. Somebody handed them a lit cigarette. And they went like, I don't smoke, just hold it.
What a sign of the times, how they've changed.
I know, now the smoke, now, you know, these poor celebrities, they like go out behind the restaurant to blow butt, and Harvey Levin jumps out of a bush and takes a picture of them and throws it on TMZ. These poor celebrities who smoke now, they have to hide everywhere. They got to go outside and try to hide. And back then, they wouldn't take a photograph. Like, hold on, let me grab a cigarette. All right, go ahead, click away, fellas.
I don't know if you've seen this, but I think it was on Meet the Press, where Tom Brokaw, who is now hosting it, was interviewing Barack Obama. And he said to Barack Obama, now, you've quit smoking, right? And Barack Obama said, well, yes, I mean, you know, sort of. And Brokaw goes, well, what does sort of mean? Now, this black guy who's going to be president in 3-4 days has more pressure on him than anybody in the world.
Oh, my God.
And he can't go out and light one up once in a while?
Jesus Christ.
I hope he smokes in the White House. I really hope he does.
Listen, please stop equating cigarettes with evil. It's really insane.
Yeah, it really is amazing.
It's like... you're somehow morally corrupt if you smoke a cigarette. It's crazy, and we're at the point where, like I said, you know, speaking of all those F's in Santa Monica, somehow smokers are worse people than gangbangers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I swear to God, you'd be better off, you know, this town is covered in graffiti, and all we can focus on is smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And now secondhand smoke is a first-rate killer,
yeah.
Even though no one ever dies of secondhand smoke.
Right.
I always say this all the time. Everyone within the sound of my voice, think of all the people you've lost to secondhand smoke over the years. All the loved ones, all the classmates, all the celebrities, all the dignitaries, all the luminaries. Think about, close your eyes and try to think of one goddamn person you've ever heard of who's ever died of secondhand smoke. Good. Answer? Nobody.
Zero.
Fine. So how are so many people dropping dead of something that nobody knows a person who's ever died of it?
Now, have you heard about the third-hand smoke?
No.
All right, we're going to find this. First of all, let me play this Tom Brokaw piece for you. And this is interviewing Barack Obama and talking about cigarettes.
The White House is a no-smoking zone. And when you were asked about this recently by Barbara Walters, I read it very carefully. You ducked. Have you stopped smoking?
You know, I have, but what I said was that, you know, there are times where I've fallen off the wagon.
Well, wait a minute. That means you haven't stopped.
Well, fair enough. What I would say is that that I have done a terrific job under the circumstances of making myself much healthier. And I think that you will not see any violations of these rules in the White House.
God Almighty! If these two guys were in a bar, he would have punched him in the face.
We're in a war, and the economy's in the toilet. You want to talk about where this guy fires up a cool every once in a while after a hoops game? I know that sounded very racial, but he does.
He does play hoops.
He does play hoop.
Yeah.
And the cool thing was just, you know, I'm just rolling the dice on that one.
But a friend of mine smokes cools, and we were at the racetrack last week. And I said, you got a cigarette on you? I left mine in the car. And he said, I got the cools. And I go, well, you have anything else on you? He goes, yeah, I got about 18 different versions. 17 of them I don't smoke, but I just came around for other people. What would you like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. You found that, Randy? All right, we're going to look for this, but it's a third-hand smoke now.
The white guys who smoke cools, by the way, just do it so no one bums cigarettes off. I don't know what the black guy's story is, but anytime you see a white guy smoking a cool, that's so his buddy won't bother him. You got to bum a smoke? Oh, menthol? Okay, forget it, dude. Cool.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. But you know we live in a society where it is completely honorable for one man to ask the hand of another. And it is a disgrace to vote for a war veteran for president.
Yeah, and
that's where we've come. That's where we've gotten to.
Listen, we're going to hell in a handbasket. I was, you know, my kids have their play dates, and a couple of the kids have the two dads.
Right.
And my wife was saying to me the other day, geez, what about this kid when he gets a little bit older? You know, how are they going to explain the two dad thing? Like, isn't this going to be uncomfortable? I said, sweetie, I don't know if you've turned on the TV set later, but, last couple months, but remember that dude that got pregnant? He was on Oprah with the belly out to here, and there are pictures of him with the beard and the shirt off. This will be the least of the kids' problems in the real world. And by the way, now they have a viable excuse. One of your dads got knocked up.
Right.
I saw the dude with the beard with the Demi Moore picture.
Right.
He's pregnant again. He's pregnant again.
Yeah, how does that make Teresa Strasser feel?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, this guy, at a drop of a hat, gets pregnant.
Listen.
And she can't. She's got her legs up, tied to the ceiling 2-3 nights a week.
Oh yeah, and I just love all the defenders of these nut jobs out there. And these are the same guys, by the way. The same defenders of these nut jobs. The guy with the beard who keeps getting knocked up are the same ones that are PO'd about your third hand smoke.
Right, exactly.
Would you just please, I hope you get raped by a hobo in a park in Santa Monica. That's my hope. That's my, who's smoking, by the way, while he's raping you. That's my sincere hope. And the Santa Monica PD is busy writing a chicken ass ticket for no front license plate and doesn't hear your cries for help.
Right.
That's my sincere wish for all you people.
Adam Carolla is with us. You know, passed this law saying you can't smoke on the beach. I thought it's one huge ashtray. That's exactly what it is. It's a big ashtray that's not stamped Caesar's Palace. But that's what it is. It's a giant ashtray that is 1,000 miles long on the West Coast.
I know.
It should be. You know what? It should be our proud. It should be a tourist attraction. Come see the world's biggest ashtray.
You drive through Baker, you see the world's tallest thermometer, and then you head out to Santa Monica and you see the world's biggest ashtray.
Exactly.
And there's no beer on the beach. There's no dogs on the beach. Jesus Christ.
Right, yeah.
And by the way, whose beach is it anyway? What do you mean there's no? For who? Who are you saving it for?
Yeah.
You got friends coming in from out of town? We're paying for the goddamn beach.
Yeah, it's our beach. We get to make the rules.
I know. You can't. Look. Is there anything better than a beer on the beach? It's the only reason to go to Mexico.
Oh, yeah. No campfires, no beer, no dogs, and no cigarettes. It's essentially like a convent.
It really is.
They've turned it into a Catholic church.
Mother Teresa's got one of those orange buoys. She's running down the beach in slow motion.
Yeah. Hey,
Baywatch theme pumping in the background.
I found this for you here. It's a third-hand smoke, man. This is going to drive you nuts. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Here we go.
We've all heard about the dangers of smoking, even secondhand smoke.
Secondhand smoke is actually worse because there's no filter.
But how about that guy?
There's no filter.
Secondhand smoke is worse.
Yeah. Don't worry about the secondhand smoke. Worry about the AIDS, buddy.
What about third-hand smoke?
I am very aware of who's around me when I'm smoking.
According to a recent study in the Journal of Pediatrics, third-hand smoke is especially harmful to children.
It's a poison.
Yeah.
It can be a pesticide. It floats, it lands.
You know, it can be a pesticide, but guess what? It's not.
Everything,
it can be a flying saucer, but it's not.
They're always we're always weaving the goddamn kids into.
Oh, I know.
They're
the
sensitive this and they're sensitive that. It's cry me a effing river.
Yeah, and listen, to, it goes on here about, and they actually at the end call it radioactive. Listen to this.
It then cauterizes to whatever material it lands on.
Third-hand smoke is the residue left behind long after a cigarette has been extinguished. The particles and toxic gases cling to smokers' hair, clothing, furniture, carpeting, and drapes.
I know it's on me. It's on my clothing. It's in my hair. It's on my teeth. It's everywhere.
The American Lung Association heard of a recent case at a local area hospital with nurses who smoke and others who don't.
The baby gets very fidgety and doesn't want to be around them. And that is compared to other nurses that'll come in and who don't smoke.
According to the study, the residue left behind includes heavy metals, carcinogens, even radioactive materials.
Awesome. We're officially out of problems. And then what can our kids enjoy? A life of sixth and seventh hand smoke?
Yeah, it's good.
What do they have to look forward
to? Fourth hand smoke will be just the mention of cigarettes. There'll be so much negativity attached to them that even if somebody mentions it or you hear it in passing, the word cigarette, you can get cancer.
Well, I got to tell you, bringing it full circle, if somebody told me the plane was going into the icy waters of the Hudson, I would light up. I would ignore the placard at that point. I figure, look, A, we're going to die.
Right.
B, if we don't die, we're hitting a body of water. How badly could this turn out?
Hey, I don't know if, again, Adam Carolla is with us from the morning show, 5 to 10 every morning, and then on Saturday as well. I don't know if the state of California owes you any money. With your taxes, but they owe me, I think, about $3,500 in a tax return from 2008. And today I just discovered we're going to get IOUs for that.
Yeah,
now,
awesome.
If I sent the city of Los Angeles an IOU for my tax of 2008, they'd take my house from me.
Right.
It'd be
yeah,
over.
I know. Or for the, you know, for your gas bill or Department
right.
of Water and Power.
Yeah,
you know what, fellas? I'm a little light this year. And I didn't have a great season at the track. So kindly take this note. I've written it down on a cocktail napkin. It's for the amount I owe you. And let's keep the power on in the house, huh? What do you say? Yeah, right.
I love the fact that, these Indian casinos and mostly Vegas, although Vegas is starting to feel the pinch. But even in a recession, guys do need to hazard part of their wages on the outcome of a certain events.
They
need the juice. They need the action.
Well, maybe even more. I don't know what the hell's going on in California, but I'll give you just a real good example of how it works. We had Kevin James on the radio this morning, and he's got that movie Mall Cop,
right.
You know, and it's coming out today. And I said, Kevin lives out in California, but he lives near me. I said, so where'd you shoot the movie? He said, Burlington. I guess, was that Connecticut?
I don't know.
It was, you know, East Coast.
Right, yeah, East Coast.
So,
yeah.
So it's in Burlington. And I said, well, why'd you, you know, that's a you don't get much further away than from L.A. And by the way, you know, the director, the writer, all the, you know, the whole crew, everybody is from L.A., you pick up everyone, you ship them to Burlington. And by the way, you're there for 4 months.
Right.
They shot everything in Burlington. I said, what for? He just said, taxes. It's right. Cheaper. So here's what L.A. has done, and here's what all the semi-retarded liberals have done. They've decided it would be awesome to tax everyone to death. Don't you want everyone to get, you know, everyone who should be getting $11 an hour should be in a union and get $31 an hour. And everyone should have medical and dental and, you know, all these benefits and everything else. And this is awesome. It's awesome until all the businesses just leave town to do business.
Right. And that's what's happening.
And then they just come back.
Right.
I mean, you know, look, if you have a factory that makes coat hangers, you can't pick it up and move it. Eventually, you will go to Texas or Mexico or wherever. You won't do business in L.A. because the tax, you get no bang for your buck.
Right.
You can't build anything out here. You can't do anything out here, and they rape you with taxes. So what happens? Well, we're going to shoot a movie, and how are we going to do it? Well, we got a whole bunch of people, and we got crews, and there's caterers, and there's hotels, and there's all kinds of things, and we're taking all our money, and we're going to Burlington, and we're going to drop it off, and when we're done, we'll come back.
Right. And
Nice job.
And businesses that do leave are not coming back.
No.
It's over. Like when you, even on a smaller level, when you drive around Southern California and you drive into Glendale or Pasadena, Burbank, San Fernando, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Seal Beach, all of these little cities.
Who are you, Randy Newman? Just get to it.
All of these little cities are not a part of Los Angeles City anymore.
Right.
And, you know, so they keep all their tax dollars and they can do it with their tax base what they want to do with it. And they're all beautiful. You drive down Ventura Boulevard, it's an asshole from Studio City all the way to Calabasas.
Right.
It's a complete asshole. The whole boulevard, because it's in L.A. City, is a complete mess. You drive into Beverly Hills and they keep their own tax dollars there. And so they pave the street with gold.
Yeah, it's really, it's the same. I always say that same thing, except for about the gays. Whenever someone complains about the gays, I go, look, I'm going to take you down to Santa Monica and Western, where there are no gays.
Right.
And you can see what it looks like.
Right.
Notice the graffiti, notice the bums, notice the chewing gum on the sidewalk,
right.
Notice the shopping carts and the churro stands. And then I will take you south a few miles and I'll bring you out to La Cienega.
Right.
Or I'll bring you out to Santa Monica, wherever. And I will show you what happens when you start hitting the gays.
Yeah, it's all night and day.
Night and day. All of a sudden it's a golf course. There's a putting green in the middle of Santa Monica with palm trees in it. Every business is vibrant. There's no graffiti. When's the last time you drove through Boys Town and saw graffiti?
Yeah, nothing.
When's the last time you saw like a busted down shopping cart?
Yeah, I know.
It's, nothing.
Yeah,
they run a tight ship, those people.
It's unbelievable.
That much you got to give them. And yes, these idiots who think we're going to stimulate the economy by taxing more people or raising taxes on business, this is more people moving out of the state.
Yeah, I mean, we already pay the highest gas tax, the highest business tax, and the highest income tax, and now we're going to have the highest sales tax.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, I'm sure the geniuses who have bankrupt our state already, once they get a few extra dollars in their coffers, it's all going to work out magically.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great plan. Let's give the alcoholic more booze.
Right.
Let's give the guys who effed up the last several billion we gave them more.
Right.
Like, that's the plan?
Yeah, next month, the state of California will be broke. It'll run out of money. Now, if you go to the state of Oregon, which is just right over the border from California, for all you, geographical nuts out there, the sales tax in Oregon is zero. If you buy a $50,000 car in Oregon, it's $50,000. It's not $54,000, $55,000, $56,000. When you buy a 99, you know, two tacos for 99 cents, it's 99 cents. It's beautiful to live up there.
Right. And thus, like I said, you're going to shoot a movie, you shoot in Oregon.
Right.
Everyone flees the state. I know people go out of state to get their cars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but listen, people are going to Canada and Yugoslavia and Romania to shoot movies.
Right. So the idea of raising the taxes to get more revenues only works if people stay in the country or stay in the state. So you can collect those revenues, but they go to Prague to shoot their movie.
Right. They did this, again, Adam Carolla's with us. They did this in San Pedro, where they raised the amount of taxes on fuel for tankers. These big tankers that come in with, cargo ships and stuff like that. If you buy gas in San Pedro, you're going to pay an extra, I think it was like 10 or 12%. So these idiots didn't realize these tankers can go 5, 6, 7 weeks without refilling. Why would they refill up here?
Right.
Why don't they go, they'll refill back in Japan where it's cheaper, up in Oregon or in Washington.
Right.
And consequently, nobody's buying gas now in San Pedro and the tax dollars are gone.
again, the notion of you're going to give people a choice and ours is a more expensive alternative and they're somehow just going to be loyal to California.
Right.
The people who lived here their whole life, whose business is here, they pack up the cameras, they pack up the stars, they pack up everything, and they shoot out of town.
Right. And you know what? When they get to, you know, Burlington or, Montreal or Toronto, the mayor welcomes them.
Right, because they want their business,
exactly,
and they make it attractive for them. We don't make it attractive for anybody here.
And they get anything they want once they leave the town because people want them. They want those dollars. They don't want it out here.
L.A. is like a chick who used to be hot, but she's lost her looks. She's sunblasted. Her boobs are saggy, but she still has all the attitude of the hot chick. Tons of attitude, but nothing. You don't want to see her naked anymore.
Right.
It's really what L.A. is.
Yeah. Los Angeles has become Joy Behar.
That's right.
You know, used to be funny, used to be attractive, and now it's over.
Yeah, well, I'd go more with Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if Joy ever had it.
Kathleen Turner is more man than that chick who got pregnant could ever dream of, or that dude that got pregnant.
I don't know if Joy ever has heard this reference, but I make it all the time. For every woman listening right now, if you look like Paris Hilton or perhaps, you know, you're a supermodel, whatever, eventually you're going to look in the mirror and go, wait a minute, who is that? Is that a picture of Joy Behar? No, that's you.
Right.
And whether that happens at 45 because you live pretty quickly or pretty out in the fast lane, or it happens at 55 or 65, wherever you are in life, eventually you are going to look in the mirror and Joy Behar is going to be looking at you.
Yeah, so drop the attitude, sweetie.
Yeah. All right, Adam, thanks for coming on, buddy. And go out and I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's a great movie, The Hammer. Have you looked at this?
No, me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you got to buy this thing. It's unbelievable.
It's selling really nicely, actually, and
like cigarettes and beer, right?
Sports Illustrated comedy, sports comedy of the year.
That's great, man! Congratulations. Hey, real quickly, who do you like? Since you watch more football than I do, who do you like on this weekend? Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or in the Philadelphia, Arizona game?
Baltimore and Pittsburgh are essentially the same team.
Right.
I mean, just great defenses. You know, not great high-powered offenses. Offenses that sort of don't lose the game for them while their defenses take away the ball. Ravens look unbelievable, but Steelers at home.
Right.
I think is who you have to give the nod to.
And then Philadelphia, Arizona is the replay of the presidential race.
Oh, yeah.
It's John McCain versus the city of brotherly love.
Look, Arizona was 8-8 or 9-7 this year. I mean, they didn't deserve to make the playoffs. They're in the weakest division. They were, you know, mediocre team. No one thought they would get this far. Warner's heated up. Warner's the only guy who has a Super Bowl ring, as far as I can tell, at the quarterback position.
Right.
McNabb's played in one and lost one. So they got a guy there who's been to the show two times and has won one of them and almost won a second. And they put up like 33 points last week against Carolina. It's hard to tell what Arizona team will show up. They look horrible sometimes. They've looked great other times. I think the money's got to be on Philly. But again, Arizona's at home, and you have Warner, and you have Fitzgerald out on the corner, who, by the way, is the blackest man with the whitest name ever. His name is Larry Fitzgerald. But he has dreadlocks and a 40-inch vertical leaf, but his name is Larry Fitzgerald. Quietly, one of the whitest, you know, next to Graham Wellington, one of the whitest names on the planet.
That's great.
Warner, who's, a God freak, literally throws up Hail Marys one after the other, and Fitzgerald just goes and gets them.
That's great. I'm going to be watching that game on are both games on Sunday? I believe they are, right?
Yeah, yeah. They are.
All right, Adam, thanks for chiming in, man.
Great to speak
Yes, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right,
thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, go out and buy The Hammer, everybody. It is available at Amazon.com, also Blockbuster. It's a great movie. And it's available on DVD. So go out and buy that thing and enjoy it. It's Sports Illustrated's Sports Film of the Year. So I believe you'll enjoy that. All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, Gina Grad is going to do the news. Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, ovaries are the new currency for this year's inauguration, and karma is swift for this pop chameleon. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Excellent. And then we're going to also have two radio guys on as well, two complete studs that should still be on radio, and fortunately for me, they're not, because they're not competing with me, but they're here tonight. John Ziegler and Carell are coming in. Always interesting. You know, these 2 hours will fly by, and both guys have tons of things to say, and both very entertaining, and we'll talk to them between now and 11 o'clock. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk.
At my side, Santa winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the Beach Boys, baby. Don't let the music stop. We gonna ride it till we just can't ride it no more. From the side.
Complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.